Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game, it's a Fireball Hot Take Friday, live from Pete and Terry's Tavern here in Bridgestone Arena ahead of Game 3. I cannot remember, Caroline Fenton, the last time that we were here ahead of a game at Pete and Terry's Tavern. I can't. Ian, when's the last time we were here? February 26th of last year?
Honestly, I would have no idea. I don't even know what year it is.
I mean, I cannot remember the last time we were here, but there is a playoff game tonight, so I guess we are here. Now, let me state for the record, I suffer from allergies. I don't know if it sounds like I suffer from allergies. I don't know if it does, doesn't.
You sound great. Don't even worry about it.
Probably the decision to spend all day outside wasn't a great idea, but who knows? Who cares? So I want to start with this. And I don't even know where to look because the camera's right here and I don't, you know, whatever, but who knows?
Whatever floats your boat.
I'm picking the Predators to win tonight. So I'm starting the show off that way. I'm picking them to win. And I don't give one damn, and I only said that word because I couldn't use the other word that I want to use. I don't care what any crybaby fan on Twitter thinks about, oh, Jared, you jinxed the Predators. It's your fault. And if they lose, it's, oh, my God. The Predators are going to win tonight. I think they're going to win. And here's why I think they're going to win. Because the teams that get beat four games, there's one of two ways you get beat four games. One is you're just dominated by the other team. Like, you're just that much worse than the other team. The other way is you basically quit midway through. There's one of two ways you lose in four games. And everybody that loses three in a row, I know it's happened before in sports where the team that loses three in a row ends up winning the series, especially in hockey. It's happened multiple times. But the truth is, if you go down 3-0, you usually lose in four games. And if this team goes down 3-0, they're going to lose in four games. I just am telling you the way this series is going. So, I don't know about you guys. I'm picking the Predators tonight. I think the Predators get it done. I think the Predators are going to win. I think Saros is going to be fantastic. I think the crowd's going to be electric. I think all of those things are going to happen. I think they're going to score some goals. I honestly don't even think it's going to be that close. I think the Predators are going to win this game tonight, 4-1. I think they are going to win. And we'll get into all the betting ramifications of all of that and whatnot. But I think they're going to win tonight because I just don't see this team quitting. Now, do I think this team can compete with Carolina? And I said, there's two ways that you can get blown out in a series 4-0. And one of them is the other team is just that much better than you, which is a legitimate possibility with Carolina. But what I'm telling you all today is I think they're going to win. And I don't care what anybody says about me jinxing the team or me rooting for or against the team. Like, I don't care what you think about my pick. I just think this team's not giving up. I don't – again, they're going to have to win both games to make it a series. I don't know if they're going to do that, but I think they're going to win tonight. What do we think about it? Let's kick it around the room. What do we think? I'm picking them to win. What do we think?
I also just have a feeling that the Predators are going to win, and I don't think that normally home ice advantage plays a huge factor, but I think tonight it will. A nearly packed Bridgestone for the first time in a long time, and I really do think that that's kind of going to give them that competitive advantage that they need. And also, the Predators are no strangers to being back and being behind and having to claw their way back into the competition. They've done that so far this season. We've seen that from them. They went from, I'm not going to say worst to first, but that same kind of idea. They were so far back, and this season felt so far gone, and now here they are in the playoffs. So they are no strangers to being behind and being the quote-unquote underdogs. So I don't think that being down two games is going to get to them. I don't think that they're going to give up. They still have a lot of fight left in them, and I think being back in Bridgestone is going to bring that out of them.
Ian?
Just a side note, I found it was early March 2020. The last time you guys were at Pete and Terry's.
Early March.
Yes.
I'm a first timer. It's a great place.
You know, I actually don't think I was there that day. I think that's when I had the flu.
One day, Steve was in for you, and the other day, Joe Rexrode was in for Floyd, is what my notes say.
Okay.
But
you
yes.
know what? That's right. That was the day of the tornado. So the day of
You're
the tornado
right. That is the day
was
before.
The last.
And
that
then
was,
that night. Yeah.
Yes. That is the last
wow,
time.
Wow, that's a little freaky.
Okay. What do you think about me thinking the Predators are going to win?
I do think they're going to get – the Preds will give them their best shot tonight. You know, backs against the wall, desperation, back at home, can't go down 3-0 kind of thing. You know, John Hines seemed like this morning saying he was pretty confident he would get the team's best shot tonight. So I think if they're going to win one, this is good as any.
So I think they're going to win. And I know people are going to be mad because, like, I think I'm like just sometimes people just want to get mad. And so it'll be like if I pick them to lose, it's like you hate the Predator, so I hate you. And then if you pick them to win, it's like you're jinxing the Predator, so I hate you.
You really can't please the people.
I can't. And so yeah. I just don't try.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to win tonight. I think the reason they're going to win tonight is because I don't think that they're, like, losers in that way. Like, just, you know, you loser. I don't think that's them. This team, to your point, they have fought with the adversity all season long. Now, the idea of they fought with adversity all season long, so let's see how they do in a game of this magnitude. Let's see if they give it their best shot. And, hey, they fought through adversity all season long, so they know, hey, they can go out there and win this series. I'm not saying that.
No.
That's not coming out of my mouth. I'm talking about tonight, game three. And every coach and everybody will tell you you can't win game three, game four if you don't win game three. And I just said, you can't win this series. You cannot win this series if you lose this game. So I think they're going to win tonight. Now, the other part about it is, I do believe that this game has much bigger ramifications than just tonight's game. Because if they do lose, they are going to lose the series. I don't want to be Debbie Downer. I'm not telling you not to go to game four. I'm not telling you I'm not going to game four because I am going to game four, even if they lose tonight. But if they lose tonight, it is over. They are not going to compete in this series. And I am not, I think everybody would tell you that going in. Hey, if you play a team that is this much better on paper than you are, and you lose the first three games of that series, are you going to win? And I think most everybody would say, no. No, you're not going to win. So, they have to win tonight. And if they don't win tonight, and they lose this series 4-0, which again is exactly what happens if they lose, then I think they got to blow it up. Now, when I say blow it up, that doesn't mean get rid of every player. But it does mean that I think you're going to see massive changes to the roster. And every single time we get close to massive changes, and every single time we start throwing around the term blow it up, to whatever extent we actually mean by it, because I think different people have a different interpretation of what blow it up means, but every time we get close to that, they go out there and do something that gives everybody hope, whether it is well-justified hope or not. They do something that gives everybody hope. And so tonight's game, you can talk about it being one game in a series. But to me, and that's what John Hines did because I kind of asked him about it. But to me, like, this is it. Like, this is it. This is it for this group. And if they lose tonight, it is time to blow it up. It is time to get rid of guys that we don't want to see here anymore. And I'm not sitting there pointing out fingers and saying this or that. And it's going to be hard. Like, getting rid of Johansson, it's going to be hard. But it's probably necessary. Getting rid of Duchesne, it's going to be hard. Getting rid of Arvidsson, people aren't going to want to do that. Maybe having to get rid of Fabbro as part of a deal to get rid of one of those guys you don't want to get rid of. It's not going to be fun. But like, I think it's over for this crew, this group. I think it is over. And I think John Hines knows that because John Hines was openly challenging the Dumore crew before game number two. And I don't think he'll say, hey, do it or you're out of here. But how many times have we talked about, is this the last chance for Ryan Johansson? Is this the last chance for Matt Duchesne? I feel like we have talked about that for the last 3 weeks, that this season, this whatever it is, run, whatever you want to call it, it's it for these guys. So if you lose tonight, I think they're blowing it up. And I think Poile made that evidently clear last week when he said, hey, if things don't go well in this series, if I see how I look at this series, things are good. It's going to give me an idea of what to do. Here's what David Poile said last week.
They're a top team. And there's, you know, again, there's nobody in the few things that I've heard or read about that's picking us to win this series. So I'm going to find out a lot about our team and about the individuals on our team. I'm going to find out how good Carolina is and how what the difference is between the two teams. All those things are going to go into the decision-making process in the offseason as to where we go with the franchise. So again, I'd like to, as best possible, enjoy the the time here because it's been a difficult season, but there's lots of things to be positive about for where we are and what our chances are. And it's also a lot of things to be positive for going forward. But, you know, we all know that there's always changes in an off season, and we will get to that after we our season ends. And hopefully that will be not in the near future.
He's blowing it up if they lose. You know, the hey, they're a top team. I want to see where our team is. You lose tonight, you get swept in four. You get swept in four, big changes are coming. So I wonder if this group is aware of that, because every time it starts to come down the pipe that, hey, they may be getting rid of all you guys, they start to play a little bit better. So, again, I think that's the other thing about tonight's game. I think there's a lot of storylines from tonight's game that are just bigger than can they win game three, can they get back in the series, and we will discuss a lot of that today. But I think that if they lose tonight, I think they're getting swept. If they get swept, I think massive changes are coming. And let me be the first to say, I am rooting, if they get swept in this series, for massive changes to come.
I don't know. If they lose tonight, I don't know if they necessarily will get swept. I think there may still possibly be a chance for a game four. But if you lose tonight, like the there's no chance of the Predators winning this series.
See, they know, though. If they lose tonight, they know.
They know
it's
over.
And then they're going to go out there and give you they're going
to
give you an 80% effort because their heads are going
to
be out of it.
Go back to Raleigh, and what do you have?
They're not going back to Raleigh. I'm telling you, if they lose, it's over. If they lose tonight, they're going to give you – their head is going to be 65% there. They're going to go through the motion Sunday. They'll lose 3-1, 3-0, and see ya. And then again, I think massive changes are coming to the Predators if that happens. So, and as I said, if they get swept in this series or if they lose in five games, I hope for massive changes. I told you guys, I'm ready to move on from the 2017 fuzzies. Mm-hmm. Like, no disrespect to the 2017 run and the President's Trophy and everything. I'm ready to move on from Johansson. I'm ready to move on from Arvidsson. I'm ready to move on from Ryan Ellis. I'm just ready to move on from almost all of that, start up a new group, and let it rock. And I think that they have been very hesitant to do that. But I don't think they're hesitating anymore. I think that they're finally pulling the trigger on all of that if this team gets beat, and gets beat handedly by Carolina. So there's a challenge to those guys in the locker room. Let's take your calls. 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Short show today. We've got a three-hour show. Remember, the game is at 6 o'clock, so the pregame comes your way at 5. 615-737-1025. Plus, what Coach John Hines has to say about the likelihood of big changes or challenging these guys if they can't meet the level of expectation. That's next. We're live from Pete and Terry's Tavern, the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Yeah, John, David said last week before the series that he really wanted to see kind of how you guys stacked up against Carolina for making decisions going forward. How much of that right now for some of these guys do you want to see? You've challenged them, but to be down 0-2, knowing backs against the wall, having to defend home ice, how much of this will kind of define what some of these guys are made of for this program going forward?
Well, it's a good question. I guess I would answer it this way right now, because this is really where my mind's at, Jared, as the coach, is that, you know, I believe that our team is going to play really well tonight. We need these guys to step up and play well. And it's about winning. It's about winning a game. It's about getting ourselves in the win column, getting ourselves back into this series. And, you know, I understand the future forecasting of what it is. But to be very honest, at this point in time, this is our group. This is our team. There's a reason why we're here. We're in the middle of a playoff series. And it's all about game three. And let's focus in on that. Let's get great performances. Let's have our team play better. Let's come out here and let's find a way to win a hockey game.
John Hines today saying, it's all about game three. It's, yes, for him, it's all about game three. For the core group, I think it's a lot bigger than that. If you like being in Nashville, play better. You got to win tonight. I do think they are making massive changes to the roster in the offseason if they don't win tonight, because if they don't win tonight, they're going to get blown out in the series. Do we think that these are legitimate threats, or do you think it's just me talking on the radio saying they're going to make, excuse me, saying that they're going to make massive changes just because I want them to?
I think that it should be a legitimate threat, and I totally understand why they are so reluctant to get rid of that quote-unquote do more crew, the Arvidsons, the Johansons, the Ellises of the team, because it's kind of like, you know, with a toxic relationship, you hold on to the things that were so fun so long ago, and you just don't want to admit that it's not working anymore, and it's just not working anymore with the Predators. So I do think they have to get to a certain point and say, you know, hey, we're not getting past the first round of the playoffs. We're not beating these big boy teams that we need to be, that the Predators can be. So I think it should be a legitimate thought and a threat to, okay, if we can't do what we are capable of doing, what we did do a few years ago, then we have to set ourselves up to do that. And who are the guys that are impending that potential of the Predators?
I think that losing this series would be the moment that they realize, because I've realized it for forever. Like, I knew after the Dallas series, okay, bring in Matt Duchene. And once you bring in Matt Duchene, let's see if that fixes things. It didn't. They fired the coach. I was against firing the coach because I thought that the guy could coach. And I think this guy can coach. I think that guy could probably coach a little bit better. But okay, fine. I understand. This is hockey. And in hockey, this is a fire the coach sport. So if things don't work out, you fire the coach. That's what you do in hockey. Everybody does it. Montreal fired their coach, Claude Julien, who's won a cup, who they'd already fired before. And they fired him in the middle of the season. So again, that's hockey. Fine. But once you get knocked out by Arizona in the bubble series, like, that kind of tells me all I need to know. So I've been there. I've been with, okay, like, time to give up on the 2017 crew. I don't think they want to do this. Like, I don't think they want it. I think it's one of those relationships where you want to bail on it. So you want your friend to bail on this relationship so badly, and they won't do it. And no matter how many times you've had that discussion with your friend about that, how toxic that relationship is, they're just like, no, I just know. And they give them like a ninth chance.
But it was so great a few years ago.
But at some point though, right? Like, at some point even they give up. And I think that's where they are. Like, that's where Poile, I think, is. And that's if Poile's in charge of making this kind of decision, and I don't know. But that's, I think they're breaking it up. If that's why I think tonight's game's so big. I don't think they're going to win this series. But I do think they can win this series. You lose tonight, I don't think you can win this series.
I don't think so either.
You get blasted in this series to where there's nothing you can point at to say. Like, that whole, all that, what they spoke after the game the other day, all of that was all fake. Like, that was all fake. That whole, well, hey, we played a pretty good game. Our 5-on-5 was pretty, that's all talk. And they probably know that too. Like, we know they got beat. They got beat. I mean, it wasn't like a, hey, you know, puck bounces their way. It was, they got beat and they know it. And they got beat in game one. Here you go. You get beat in game three, you're going to get beat in game four. And when you do, it tells you where you are. And unlike that Punch and Judy Avalanche team that came in here a couple years ago, the Predators don't have young players that look like they're going to be really good in a couple of years. So it really is kind of the last chance for this group. Now, they're still going to get their money because you can't take it away. Like, Duchene's still going to get paid. Johansson's still going to get paid. Arvidsson's still going to be, you know, for as long as he is. They're still going to get their money. But they might be doing it in Calgary. They might be doing it in Seattle. They might be doing it in places that, quite frankly, they don't want to be. So I think this is the last chance for this group. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Let's go to them. Text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline Fenton, what's in there?
Dexter texted into the text line and says, the Nashville referees versus the Hurricanes. If Pecorine heads win, it's because the referees helped them.
Okay, so, like, that's a hot take, but I also think that's a stupid take.
Yeah.
Move on. Next one.
April in Portland said, I want Dutchie, RV, and Ellis gone no matter what.
So, here's the thing. I don't know how you get rid of all of those guys. I mean, I hear that's the texter. I just don't know, like, nobody, I don't think people want these guys. Arvidsson, I was talking to Chase about this off the air. And I've said this time and time again, and now I think it's starting to pick up. You know, like I say something, everyone says, oh, Jared's so crazy. Then after about 6 months of me saying the same thing, everybody else starts to pay attention. It's like Adam Dingin wrote a story about how the big boys need to step up. I'm like, oh, I wonder who talks about the big boys all the time and the lack of big boys. But anyway, and Adam Dingin wrote about this in that article, mm-hmm. which is with Arvidsson. I think Arvidsson's done. Now, I don't know how hurt Arvidsson is right now. Like, I don't know if that injury that he had at the end of the year, if that's still bothering him, and that's why he is where he is. But he's done. And I don't know if it's the Bortuzzo hit in St. Louis a couple years ago, or if it's the fact that he just plays so hard all the time that a body that small can only do it for so long. But I think he's done. Like a relief pitcher who they've just used 5 years in a row, and they've used him every night, and now he just doesn't have a fastball anymore. And I think that's where Arvidsson is. Well, because David Poile signed him to a 7-year contract a couple of years ago, there's still term on that. And nobody's just going to take a guy who's done. So I don't know exactly how you get rid of him. Now, you can buy him out because the money's not that much. But Arvidsson's not the kind of guy for a team that doesn't like to buy people out. Arvidsson's not the kind of guy you want to buy out. You can't buy out Duchesne because it's too much money and there's too much time.
Right.
And then Ellis is the wild card. Because the one thing I've learned is that the way that we feel, and I'm talking about like the people in Nashville, not necessarily me, but the way that the people in Nashville feel about a player or a situation the Predators are in sometimes differs significantly from where the league feels about them. I think there's a chance some people in this league think Ryan Ellis is still a good defensive player. So they might do it. But I think it's a tall task to ask all three guys be gone. That being said, they lose tonight. I think it is totally on the table. I think it is 100% on the table that those guys, Johansson, I mean, I think there are a lot of guys who are gone if they lose tonight, get swept in four games.
You mentioned that Arvidsson, you don't think there's much left in him. The rest of the quote-unquote Dumore crew, Johansson, Duchesne, Ryan Ellis, do you think that they still have something left in them?
You know, I think that's a really tough call. So, like, Duchesne, I give Duchesne the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put him over here in the corner for a second. I don't know what's wrong with Johansson. And this has been a 3-year issue now. And I used to always think Johansson was like an NBA player, right? Like he plays at a certain speed during the regular season, and then he ramps it up in the playoffs. And I thought for a long time that was true. And the 2018 Winnipeg series, I think, was everybody stunk at some level or another in that Winnipeg series, except Ryan Johansson. I thought he played really well. But I don't know why he can't turn it on. Like I did think for a while he kind of got lazy, he got fat and happy, and he was resting on his laurels. Now, I don't know. Like I think he wants to win. I think he's playing hard. I think he cares. I just don't know if he has it. I mean, I just don't know if that, like, to your point, is it gone? Is the talent gone? Is too much of being fat and happy? Not. I mean, I can't tell you what's up with Johansson, but this is now like four coaches in his career, and two of them, well, I shouldn't say two of them because I don't know how Hines feels, but Tortorella definitely did not like him in Columbus. So I would be very concerned about what's wrong with Ryan Johansson, and I think that's probably a reason why there's a lot of people out there that aren't going to have any interest. So, as I said, each individual guy we can go over at length, but, I mean, I think they're gone. I think that the truth is it's a different team next year, and not a different team in the sense of, well, you know, roster turnover is 31% for every NHL team every year. No, they're gone. They are good. This is the 2017 group is gone if they lose tonight after this season's over. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back to your call. 615-737-1025 and your text coming up. If the Predators win both games, because I'm talking about if they lose, and I'm picking them to win tonight. What if they win both games? 615-737-1025. We'll discuss next. We are live at Pete and Terry's Tavern again ahead of game number 3. That is tonight. Listen to the game every weekday for your chance to win $1,000. It's the game's 1K payday, presented by Kentucky Kingdom and Hurricane Bay. Listen for keywords at 9, noon, and 3. When you hear it, go to thegamenashville.com and enter the keyword for a shot at $1,000. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5, the game.
Hi, Matt. Good morning. Game 3, of course, tonight. You're back in your own building. Everybody knows the situation down 0-2, but what's the feeling with you and the group heading into Game 3 tonight, and how do you view this matchup against Carolina once more?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we played a better game last game, and I thought it could have went either way. So I think there's a few areas that we want to build on. But I think that the spirit in the room is good. Excited to get in front of the fans here at Bridgestone.
There you go. That was Matt Binning today, which I got to be honest, and the Preds PR team does a great job, so this probably isn't their fault. Matt Binning? Like, Matt Binning before tonight's game? I know it's different than normal, where, like, in the normal times, the locker room would be open for these kind of games. And if the locker room's open, you go talk to whoever you want or whoever wants to talk. This in the Zoom era, they put a couple players at Matt Binning? Like, he was scratched in game one. Matt Binning?
Do you think any of the other guys were like, we're just so sick and tired of answering
yes.
these questions?
Yes.
I think they're at that point.
I don't think it's that they were sick and tired of it, because Matt Duchene hasn't talked to the media the entire playoffs. I think it is they just didn't want to do it.
Right.
Because they know any guy who does it is going to get peppered with questions about the power play and why they can't score and why this. And so they already had Ekholm talk this week. Ellis is going to get bombarded with questions about how he's been playing. I think it was kind of like, okay, who can we put out here that makes it the least of our worries? Who makes it the least of our worries in terms of willingness to do it? And like, there's nothing you can really ask Matt Binning that is going to end up controversial one way or another.
Matt Binning isn't going to stir the pot.
No, and I don't think anyone, like, you could ask the question, like, Matt, why were you benched in game one? How'd you feel about it? If you wanted to stir the pot, and don't think that I didn't think about doing that, but I just don't care.
At this point, yeah, at this point, it's irrelevant.
So I don't think it's irrelevant. I mean, I think it's very much not irrelevant that the lineup decisions made by the coach have been somewhat questionable in this series, and that there will be more lineup decisions made.
Mm-hmm.
What if they win both games? So I just said, basically, I think the 2017 crew, if they lose tonight, I think they lose the series. Now, I'm picking them to win. But if they lose tonight, I think the 2017 crew is gone. And I think that means in more ways than one, like, there's going to be some painful realities, too, if you bump off the 2017 crew. Like, in order to get rid of Johansson, in order to get rid of Duchene, in order to get rid of all of those guys. But
it would also have a hefty price tag.
Sure, I mean, it would be hard.
Yeah.
But what if they win? What if they win both games and they hold serve and they send it back to Raleigh? Does it change your thoughts about the series? Does it make you think that perhaps they could have the confidence to compete with Carolina? What do we think? And I will state for the record, not that I cared about that Monday night season finale game, but I did take that Saturday game that got them into the playoffs seriously. Carolina won two at home in mid-April. The Predators won two at home in early May. I'm not a huge home ice guy, but I could see it mattering given the lack of fans for an entire year. Carolina had a bunch of fans. You're going to have a bunch of fans. Maybe it matters. What if they win both games?
I mean, if they win both games and we've got ourselves a series, absolutely. And I still believe that Carolina will end up winning the series. Carolina is just a better team. Carolina is just more competitive. However, I will feel much differently about this Nashville Predators team, that they can pull things off in the playoffs. And I think one thing that I've noticed the past few months is the Predators haven't been able to adjust mid-game. But we have seen them be able to adjust and overcome things in the middle of the season. And I think that you may be able to see that a little bit in the series. So if they take both games at home, maybe I'll stop underestimating home ice a little bit, if that would play a factor.
Well, I feel like you're overestimating home ice.
I'm overestimating. Well, I don't think so. I think that having more fans in the building for the first time in a long time will make a difference. You don't think that home ice in Raleigh played any effect?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Having 12,000 allegedly fans, maybe more?
No, I don't think it mattered. I mean, and I, you know, again, I wasn't there, so I didn't, you know, feel it. But it's like Robbie Stanley said this week. He's, you know, I've just been watching hockey too much. I've just been watching it to see, and I've seen times where I feel like it matters, but I don't think it matters. And I'm not here to bump on home ice or anything like that. I just don't think that it matters. I think the Predators lost game one because, honestly, they got lazy in the third period, and I thought they played a bad period at the wrong time. And I think they lost game two because they had no confidence in their power play after Carolina killed off the first two. And at that point, they were just I mean, the Predators played the least aggressive game I think I can remember them playing in a game that mattered in a long time. So, I don't think that the 12,000 fans in Carolina are why the Predators, when they go on the power play, pass it around the perimeter the whole time and can't go tape to tape with their passing.
But we said yesterday, is that all that the Predators have to hold on to is coming back to Bridgestone Arena?
That is all they have to hold on to. So that's the difference, is that, like, when you don't have anything to hold on to, you hold on to anything.
Right.
Anything for hope. And that is what I think these players are doing. So I think there's maybe a mental element of it for them that says, hey, these are our fans. We're going to play hard in front of our fans. But I don't think it's going to affect the Carolina Hurricanes. And I don't think it's going to ultimately affect the game other than just the mental psyche of what it does to the Preds players. That being said, if they win the two games, do we have a series? And the way that you said it basically sounded like no. Because you said, do I think they're still going to win the series? No. Do I think they're going to no. But, you know, it'll be nice. That's kind of the question I'm asking. Do we have a series? Ian, do we have a series if they win games 3 and 4?
If they win games 3 and 4 and tie the series 2-2?
Yes.
Yes, I will say it's a series.
I think they're going to have to win game 5. I think that's they're going to have to go up 3. And again, this is talking out of my just completely talking out of my butt. I think they're going to have to win game 5. I think they're going to have to win 3, 4, and 5. And if you win 3, 4, and 5,
then I will feel more confident to say that there's a series.
Then you definitely have a series. Because if anything goes 7, that's a series. I don't think that I will consider the Predators capable of knocking off the Canes in the series if they win 3 and 4. They'll have to win 5. Now, we're talking about winning 3 in a row against maybe the best team in the league. And that's a tall task. So
I think 2 in a row is even a tall task.
Well,
they can do it, but it would be difficult.
And, I mean, we're saying what if they win 3 and 4? I said last week, I think that they're going to lose the first 2 in Carolina. They're going to win 3 at home. They're going to lose 4 at home. They're going to lose 5 in Carolina. That's it. But I still don't think we have a series. I still think the gap is that big between these two teams that even if they win games 3 and 4, I will have a hard time getting on the bandwagon that they can do this. When they played Chicago in 2017, I had a hard time getting on the belief that they could beat the Blackhawks even after they won games 1 and 2 in Chicago, because I just knew that Chicago was going to put up a fight in game number 3. But when they won in overtime at game number 3, I was like, okay, they're going to do this. And I know it's like a really tall task to ask a team to do. But had they won the first 2 games in Raleigh, we would have said, oh, yeah, this is a series. And right now, I don't think we can say that yet. If they win the 2 games here, they're just holding serve for a series that we think that they're totally overmatched in. So I still think, I mean, like, yes, they've got to win 3 before they can win 4, and they got to win 3 and 4 before they can win 5. But it just feels like they're still, even if they just hold serve, Carolina still has the upper hand in the series.
Well, if the Predators would have won games 1 and 2, then they would have been in control. They would have been in the driver's seat of this series. But now they're just playing catch-up.
Sure.
So I wouldn't feel confident in saying, oh, yeah, no, we have a series, because I do think that Carolina's the superior team, so I won't feel confident about the Predators having the upper hand until they actually do in terms of the series, in terms of winning 3 in a row.
All right, let's get to your phone. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We're live from Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. Ahead, of game number three tonight. And again, I think the Preds are going to win game number three. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game this Sunday for our official Preds Hurricanes watch party at the Dogwood at 1907 Division Street in Midtown. The party kicks off at 11 a.m. with Ryan Porth and Caroline Fenton broadcasting live, leading up to the pregame from the arena. The puck drops at 1:30, and the fun will roll on all game long with $5 drafts. The Dogwood is one of Midtown's newest hotspots, and Sunday is a great time to try their brunch, featuring the infamous 32-ounce Texas-sized mimosas. We'll see you at the Dogwood in Midtown on Sunday. Go Preds. By the way, I was not invited to that.
Sorry.
I was not invited. I think everyone's getting around behind my back. I wasn't invited.
Sorry.
I would like to be invited.
Cool, I'm the cool new kid. Everyone wants to hang out with me.
Apparently,
instead.
I'm not invited.
Well, you can still come hang out with us. We'll just wave to you and say, hey, Jared. Oh, hey, is that Jared over there?
I don't want to go to a party that I'm not invited to. It's all
well,
I'm saying. I don't want to go to a party that, you know.
It's not my party.
It clearly is your party.
I was just invited
you're
to it.
You're co-throwing the party.
Well.
I'm just saying. Sorry. Fireball Hot Take Friday continues next. Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Live from Pete and Terry's Tavern ahead of game number three here at Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Carolina Hurricanes. Adam Bingen wrote an interesting piece in The Athletic today, and it said, the Predators' big boys are running out of time to prove their worth. Do we believe a loss tonight totally changes everything?
In terms of big boy forward staying or going, or I'm saying the Dumore crew staying or going, or in terms of the series?
Well, I mean, the series, we just said if they win games three and four,
yeah,
we're not going to be.
It's done.
Yeah. But I think they're going to do it. Ryan Porth texted me and said, and when I say do it, I meant like, I think they're going to break up the 2017 crew. It may be more painful. Ryan said, I think it's too simplistic to say the 2017 crew is gone after the year, considering some of those contracts. I would agree. There's Arvidsson's contract. There's Johansson's contract, which I believe is four more years after this year, maybe five more years after this year. It's hard to keep up because David Poile gives everybody the max, you know, 7 or 8 years. So they're just long, 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 long. But I would say this. It's Poile's job if they, in fact, allow Poile to keep doing his job, which, as Adam wrote in his piece, that David Poile is not blameless for all of the problems that the Dumore crew has had, and I would completely agree with that. But if they give David the opportunity to try to fix this, then David's got to fix it. And by fix it, he's got to get rid of some of these guys. And it's not going to be easy. And ultimately, the truth is, I don't foresee if they can't get this group together. Like, if they can't get this thing to work, I don't foresee long-term anybody who's still in place still being in place.
Well, because you have to get to a certain point when it stops working.
Well, they're going to lose.
Right.
So that's like, if you do that, if you get rid of all those guys, you're also going to have to get rid of some other assets in order to get rid of the things you don't want anymore. And your team is not going to be very good. And you're going to lose. And now it'll be short of blowing it up. Like people were talking about, you know, Forsberg stays and Ekholm stays. And then they re-sign Ekholm, which I'm for. But, like, those things will happen. They'll rebuild on the fly. Maybe they make the playoffs next year. Maybe they fall just short. But ultimately, like, it's hard for me to envision them being a competitor next year if they get rid of all those guys right off the jump. It's easy to say you want to get rid of somebody, but if you get rid of somebody and then you have to deal something else in order to do it, it becomes very painful. Ian, do you think this is it for the 2017 crew if they lose tonight?
Well, to y'all's point, I do think it will be tough to move all of them, right? Like, you're going to have to pick and choose, and you're only going to be able to get rid of players who other teams would like without having to really, you know, sweeten it. Besides, to make it, you know, if you sweeten it too much, you're just, you know, it's just going to damage you too much. So you have to kind of be balanced on there about what you're willing to give up to move some of these pieces before it really puts you back.
So I would be understanding of that, and that's probably why Johansson is still here, is because they can't find somebody to take him. I'm not sure you can have Ryan Johansson in your building for another year after this year. I mean, they've given him every chance. And if you give a guy every chance and then he can't do it, like, to me, now it's just hurting the team, and it hurts the morale, and it hurts, like, the credibility of the coach to be like, hey, we have certain standards that you have to meet here. What about him? Well, he's different. Okay, now what do you do? I that's where I have a hard time, if they lose tonight, seeing them being able to keep everybody together. What's in our text line? 615-737-1025.
Matt texted in and said the Predators don't have a chance to win with the people they have playing right now. I say sit the guy that was injured a month ago and play the guys that got the team turned around, and you may have a chance to win a couple of games.
So I'm not benching Philip Forsberg.
No.
Because that's what that would require doing, to be like, hey, when this team turned it around.
You're not going to put just young
Philip
guys
Forsberg
out there.
You know, I'm not putting Rym Pitlick in, and I'm not taking Philip Forsberg out.
And those guys also turned it around. I'm not going to discredit it, but with wins against the Detroit Red Wings and the Dallas Stars.
I also am not going to play lineup in the text line every day. I feel like that's what the text line likes to do. Take out Bobby and put in Jimmy. Like, I mean, again, the lineup is not. I think Hines screwed it up Monday night. I understand what he did. I told you all last Friday that I disagreed with what he did. When I heard him say today in the press conference that they were going to put Tolvanen in the lineup today, I was like, yes, hallelujah, because we thought he's going to screw that up. So I was just like, oh, my goodness, thank God he's going to put Tolvanen in there. I don't think they're going to put Fabbro in there, though they should. I don't think they're going to put him in the lineup. But, I mean, the text line wanting to play lineup every day as if that's the difference between beating the Carolina Hurricanes and not. They didn't get a – see, they had seven power plays. They didn't get a single high-danger chance.
Well, do you not think that, you know, the pairing of UC and Ellis on Monday contributed to the loss and breaking up that herd line? I think that
– oh, screw the herd line. I'm sorry, the herd line. That thing is so overrated. It mattered to me. Here's when the herd line matters. To your point that you were just making, when you play Detroit and you play Chicago and you play Dallas and a guy comes in there and pumps him a little bit, fine, great. That's when the herd line matters. When you're getting out hit, what did they get out hit last night? When they get out hit like 56-20, the herd line does not matter. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, everybody, the fourth line. When's the last time a team won the cup and it was because of the fourth line that they won that cup?
I don't know. I am just saying.
That herd line. I am. It's like, you know, if you had a segment of like, here's what matters and here's what doesn't matter.
Okay, well then what does matter?
The fact that they don't have high-end forwards. I mean, that's what this matters. That's what this is all about. And if I were to make a change at the top, and again, you know, they can do whatever they want to do. If I was to make a change at the top, it would be because I am paying guys to be high-end forwards that other teams did not consider to be big boy forwards, or at least consider enough to keep them. You don't let Alexander Ovechkin walk out the door. You don't let Patrice Bergeron walk out the door. You don't let Connor McDavid leave your building. The guys you let go are Ryan Johansson, the guy who's got all the potential in the world, but Matt Duchene, all-star in Colorado, but Ottawa, but Columbus, but you don't let that guy walk out of there. And they can't draft them. And now they're too good to ever be able to draft them. And then last year when they got in the lottery, they picked a goalie. So, again, like, that's what this is about. It's about the high-end forwards that this group doesn't get. And that's why when we talk about the 17 crew and breaking it apart, that's why this is important, because this is the last chance for them to go up against high-end forwards and prove that they are that. And that's where I feel like ultimately the biggest issue is here. You're paying big boy forward money to guys that aren't big boy forwards. Ryan is up next. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting patiently on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, guys. I think you're right. It's 2017. This is it. If they don't win, they're done. But you got to think about the expansion draft. It's who you can expose. You know, a guy like Ellis and Arvidsson, if you expose him, I'm pretty sure Seattle may look at him. And honestly, Seattle, you might be able to trade one of them too, because the contracts are big, but they're not as big as like a Johansson or a Duchesne. A team would be willing to swallow $6-7 million on a, I think Harvey's got, what, 4 years left? I think Ellis has got 5 years left compared to Duchesne, who's got 7, and I think Johansson's got 5 as well.
Thank you, Ryan. So let me just say this. Again, I don't want to do expansion talk on the day before game three, but or the day of game three. I don't want to do expansion draft talk. You have no shot of exposing Duchesne or Johansson and Seattle taking them. Arvidsson, probably not. Maybe Ellis. But then you're getting nothing in return for Ellis. So, you know, whatever. 615-737-1025. We'll have tons of time to talk about the expansion draft, especially if they don't win tonight. Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025. John Hines says he's making some tweaks to the power play. What do we think of that? Next, we are live again out at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Fireball Sin Whiskey goes down so smooth, and it tastes so great. You know how much I love Fireball Whiskey. That's right. It ignites the night, and it is absolutely fantastic. Be sure to enjoy responsibly. Tons of time to celebrate what is a great, great time of the year. It's, the weather is nice. People are outside more. People are getting vaccinated, so they're all hanging out, whatever. Fireball Whiskey, ignite the night. Please do responsibly. Be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Sin Whiskey. Stillman & Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.